All right, this is the track for Values, Clashing Worldviews. So, how many of you have had a conversation with someone and you guys disagreed? How many of you had have conversations where you disagree about something fundamentally? Like, you believe in something and the other person does, say Christianity, or you disagree with abortion, or you have a different worldview. They like Obama, you don't. Those types of worldviews. Have you all had that? That's exactly what values debate is. Values debate is simply clashing worldviews, but it happens within a debate round. And the beautiful thing about Lincoln-Douglas debate is that's the history of how this form of debate started. You see, there were these two old men who lived way back in the 1800s, and one believed that the states should have rights, and the other believed that unity should be valued above the states' rights. And they started debating about it. This is Abraham Lincoln and Stephen Douglas. And so it was from those ideas of debates of philosophy of worldviews, not exactly about the plan that they were going to implement in Congress of how to fix their worldviews. That's what we're debating about today. So what is your motivation? Let's look at this one. The United States should rely more on home-delivered newspaper than Google News. Who reads the newspaper every morning? I like you. How many people read Google News every morning? You guys don't like news? Okay, really? So why would you prefer home-delivered newspapers? I would support it because of tradition, that I like getting my black cup of coffee and going out to the driveway with my puppy, and she picks it up and she hands it to me, and then I go sit down and read the Wall Street Journal. It's a tradition. We've been doing it in the United States since like the 20s. It's a wonderful thing that a lot of people enjoy. But why would you negate this resolution? Why would you prefer Google News over the home-delivered newspapers? You don't like the feel of paper. When you're getting all tangled up in it and it's like four pieces of paper and you're like, this is just kind of a gross feeling. That ties into efficiency. That it's easier to just get on my cell phone as I'm in the line at Starbucks and look at what's happening in the world. It updates quickly instead of having to wait for the next day publication. So these are different motivations for why you would support or reject the resolution. A value is an external reason to support a side of the resolution, and that's important to write down, guys. It's the benefit of voting for you. When you're in a debate round and say you're debating whether home newspaper or Google News is better, you can't just walk up to the judge and be like, which one do you like? Because the judge is like, well, I like holding it in my hands, but I like the efficiency side of it. So they're just kind of juggling back and forth. You need an external reason to have the judge really pay attention to what you're saying. It's kind of like, judge, you should vote for me because you're going to get this amazing thing called my value. And the judge is like, okay, I'll consider that. So there's several ways when you're building your case that you're going to have to look for values. And these are just ways that as you're sitting down and thinking about values, you should try to think about this. You'll never tell your judge in your life. This is for your help in choosing values. So you have intrinsic and extrinsic values. An intrinsic value is when you value something because it is valuable in and of itself. So let's think about freedom. What are reasons to support freedom? Why do you like freedom? What about the value of human dignity? The idea that you are valuable because you are human. Why do we like that? It's valuable in and of itself. We can give some external reasons, but the fact is we like freedom. The fact is we like to be treated as humans. And so these have strong appeals to their judges because judges can't really think about reasons why they wouldn't like freedom. They can't really think about reasons why they don't want human rights. It's a benefit that they want. Think about the Declaration of Independence. What are some of the things that they list at the beginning there that we said that in the United States, we want these things? Pursuit of happiness, life, liberty. Those are all intrinsic values, just things that we want. The problem with intrinsic values is that they're difficult to define. Because how do you define freedom? Well, it's freedom. How do you define human dignity? Well, it's that I like being human. So often your opponent will come up and be like, well, what's the extent of that? How do you define that? And the debate can kind of become messy because they don't really have another way to attack it except for to question what it is. So that's the one problem with intrinsic values. Now, extrinsic values, it's something that you value because of the results or the opportunities it will give you. So an example of an extrinsic value would be prosperity. I value being prosperous. Why do I value being prosperous? Because it will give me land, because I will be able to go out to Starbucks, because then I can hang out with my friends, because then I can donate to charities. I want to be prosperous. We call these extrinsic values kind of a gateway value, because even though you value prosperity, you want the things that prosperity gives you. Another example is success. I like success, but why do I like success? I like success because it will give me recognition, because it will give me power, because it will give me a sense of satisfaction, because it's a job well done. Those are things that I can obtain from success. National security. We like national security, but you don't go around like, you know, I wish we had more national security today. What do you really want? You want protection. You want the safety. You want your life to be preserved. Education. Why do we want education? Because all the things it can bring us, job opportunities, those are all really good examples of extrinsic. The nice thing about extrinsic values is that they're really flexible. That if you're valuing something extrinsic, then you can be like, with national security, I'm valuing life. I'm valuing protection. I'm valuing safety. And so you can really extend that. And so we'll get into techniques on how to use that later. The weakness is that sometimes it's not naturally appealing to your judge. If you're coming up and you're like, freedom! And then the next person's like, prosperity! It doesn't have the same effect. Like, freedom has flags waving in the background with a bald eagle soaring, and prosperity's like, okay, so what does that actually do for me? So you have to do a little bit more work to explain it a little bit more. So the next set is obtainable and unobtainable. An obtainable value is a value that you can hold and achieve. That's something that, once again, like prosperity. You can hold the results of it. If I have wealth or prosperity, I can have that money in my hands. I can go and buy things with it. It's something that I can visualize, so I know that I'm actually going to have something there to value. So the strengths are obviously that you can obtain it. It's very material. But the weakness is that they're not perfect. What's not perfect about getting Starbucks? Well, eventually I'm going to gain weight from drinking all that sugar. So there are advantages and disadvantages to having prosperity. So that's kind of the problem with obtainable values. We're looking at kind of that worldview clash. So what are some worldviews that lead to things that we can hold? Education would be another really good one for obtainable, but the breadth of obtainable is rather limited. Like, you don't have many obtainable values. That's not really what Lincoln Douglas debate is about. But there are some, so that's why it's a category worth looking at. So let's move on to unobtainable then, is where you treasure the value as an idea. It's timeless, like Disneyland. We love all these unobtainable values. So a value like peace. Are we ever really going to have peace in the world? No. But is it worth valuing? Of course it is. People and nations go to war every day to try to obtain peace, even though they know they're never going to have it perfectly. What about freedom? We value freedom. We love the idea of being free. We are the land of the free and the home of the brave. But are we ever going to be perfectly free? No. We have our mom who tells us to get up in the morning. We have to eat our Brussels sprouts. We're not completely free, and we never will be. So the idea here is that these are timeless, that we can always try to have them. The weakness is that there's no direct benefit. Like with peace, even though you're valuing it, you're never going to directly obtain all of it. So sometimes that makes it hard for the judge to see the results or for your opponent to see why you're actually valuing it if you're not going to gain it 100%. This is your largest category of values. All right, this is kind of a graph that I would use to try to figure out where your value falls, because you're looking at obtainable intrinsic values and unobtainable intrinsic and obtainable extrinsic and unobtainable extrinsic. So like security that we talked about, it's in the unobtainable category, but it's also an extrinsic value. So we would put it here on the graph. Why don't you guys all draw this graph on your paper? So quality of life. It's valuable in and of itself. We all want a quality of life. But we can actually obtain this. We can actually have quality of life. Then there's some that are going to fall on the line, like excellence. Is it extrinsic or intrinsic? Well, excellence is good in and of itself. We all want to be excellent. There's no way of describing why we want that. We just do. So it's intrinsic. But it's also extrinsic because we can get results from being excellent. You'll get scholarships if you have a 4.0. You can be excellent and people will recognize you for that. So there's extrinsic values to excellence as well. But it is obtainable, whether it's extrinsic or intrinsic. So it kind of falls on the line here. Freedom is the same type of way, that it's unobtainable for the most part, but it's closer to the obtainable side because we can kind of feel what freedom we have. Because if you're in chains, I mean, it can be a nice idea in your head, but you really do have to be able to experience the freedom to truly know what you're valuing. So it can be a little closer to the obtainable line, but it's intrinsic. So let's think of some value categories. Let's throw out another extrinsic value. Property. So that's extrinsic. Can you obtain it or not? You can obtain it. So on your graphs, on your paper, put property in your extrinsic unobtainable box. What else is good? Human rights. Human rights is a very popular value. Accountability. Accountability is one that you could put square right in the center. It kind of fits into all categories. What about rule of law? Truth is often a value. What about equality? The thing is that this graph is for your use. Some of you would put truth as more extrinsic than intrinsic. Some of you would put equality. I would probably put it more on the extrinsic side. That is how you think through values. You want to think through it this way and see where it goes on the graph, because then you know why you're valuing it. What benefit are you trying to give your judge? Are you trying to give them the quality of life that they can actually hold and obtain? And then you'll use your wording to describe that to the judge. This is just a starting place for you thinking about values. So sometime when you're making a case and you're brainstorming values, sit down and make this graph and be like, okay, what do I want to give my judge? Do I want to give them something that they actually can visualize and obtain? Or do I want to persuade my judge to vote for me because of an amazing ideal like peace? And so as you're sitting down and thinking about values and thinking about your case, you can think through it this way. All right, so debating values. Does the value link to his side of the resolution? Yes or no? So say we all have a value. What value do you guys want to have?
Prosperity.
Prosperity. Okay, we're valuing prosperity, guys. My opponent brings up, hold it, we'll need a resolution if we're doing this, won't we? Oh, we have a resolution. Cool. Resolved. Competition is superior to cooperation as a means of achieving excellence. Say the affirmative, who is saying that competition is better, he's valuing prosperity. Does that value link to the affirmative side of the resolution? We're saying competition is superior to cooperation, so as a means of achieving excellence. What this resolution is asking us to do is achieve excellence. But the question is, how do we get to excellence? Do we get there through competition, or do we get there through cooperation? The question is, what is excellence? And since we don't want to spend a lot of time in this lecture defining what excellence is, that's kind of up for, you know, whatever it is. But the affirmative now has a value, an external measure to this resolution, which is kind of ambiguous. The external measure that's been presented is prosperity. So we're valuing prosperity here. So in a way, we're saying excellence is who is wealthiest. So competition is the best way to achieve prosperity. That's what the affirmative is thinking. And the negative can come up and debate that, but that's kind of the affirmative's mindset. He linked the value to the affirmative side of the resolution because we need an external measure. We need something to help clarify what is excellence. What are we even achieving? Why are we achieving it? And so an extrinsic value was a really good idea. And one that's obtainable is also a really good idea, because now we're not saying we're going for excellence that's someplace up in the fluffy clouds. We're like, no, judge. We need competition to achieve prosperity. This is what we're ultimately going for. And probably applications that would support that is within business, that businesses have to compete against each other for prosperity. And so that's kind of the mindset of the affirmative. Does that make sense? Okay. So let's look at a different example, the affirmative value of justice. So competition is superior to cooperation as a means of achieving excellence, and my external measure for this statement is justice. Does competition always lead to justice? No. So if we're the negative side of the resolution and we're supporting cooperation, what we would get up in debate is that competition does not always lead to justice. That is where we would attack. So when you're in debate rounds and you're looking at your opponent's value, the first question is, does their side of the resolution actually achieve that value? I would write that down. Does that side of the resolution actually achieve that value? In this instance, you could argue that no, it doesn't. But the affirmative will probably have some good warrants as to why it does. So let's look at something else. Are we valuing the same thing? So we're having the same resolution that we had last time, competition versus cooperation. Now your affirmative got up and they're like, we value justice. And then your negative gets up and they're like, well, we value human dignity. And normally in a debate round, you go throughout and you're like, justice is better than human dignity. And you fight about it the entire time. And then the judge is left to be like, well, which one's better? Well, in this case, you need to sit down and think about, what am I actually valuing here? In justice, they're valuing the doing the right thing, that giving everyone their just due. And they're valuing this because it's, where did we put it on the graph? Unobtainable and intrinsic, right? So think about that in the graph. Human dignity. Why do we value human dignity? Because we all want to be treated as people. Because we all want to be treated fairly and equally, right? What's the difference between justice and human dignity? If I'm a bad person and I killed someone, what do you think I deserve? Well, here, I'll narrow that. Do you think I should go to jail? I'm human, so I deserve to be free. I deserve not to be imprisoned. But by doing something bad, have I kind of waived that right a little bit? So you still believe that within human dignity, there are exceptions to where I have given up some of my rights. So now explain to me the difference between justice and human dignity. I'm valuing competition, and say Noah is valuing cooperation. I'm valuing justice, and he's valuing human dignity. In the realm where we're looking at, competition is superior to cooperation as a means of achieving excellence. I've set forth the external measure of justice. That's what we're looking at in today's debate. And he's set forth the external measure of human dignity. Where is our clash? Are you going to bring into the debate round how one is flexible and one's not? That's why you should prefer my value over his. You don't really bring that stuff up in debate round. It's great for table talk. It's great to think through, and we need to have those discussions. But inside a debate round, there's not a lot of clash here. So it's okay to value the same thing your opponent does. Even though you've written a case and you have framed this whole idea of why you value a particular value, before you get up and debate it, before you get up and argue it, I want you to sit down and think about the differences between the two values. Because sometimes there won't be that much that is different. But the idea here is that, okay, we're valuing justice and human dignity, basically the same thing. But the question is, can competition achieve those ideas, or can cooperation? Which one actually gets there? So what I want you guys to pull away from this is that you need to think through what you're actually valuing, and then you need to think through who actually obtains what you're valuing. Those are the two things that you need to write down. What is the clash, and then who obtains it? Okay, can the value be subsumed? So the affirmative value in this instance is liberty, and the negative value is human rights. Who can define for me human rights? Life, liberty, and property. Pop quiz, where is that coming from? The Constitution. Anyone else want to try? Declaration of Independence. It actually comes from John Locke, who was the inspiration for the Declaration of Independence. That is your free philosophy lesson for this lecture. So, we all define human rights as life, liberty, and property. Those are the basic trio. They are like the triangle of awesomeness that give us all the rights that we need in the world. But liberty is one of those. So if I'm affirmative and I'm like, yay, liberty, and I'm quoting Patrick Henry, give me liberty or give me death. So Nathaniel gets up and he's like, well, judge, give me liberty or give me death is great. But John Locke came up with the idea that we can have life, liberty, and property, and those are human rights. So not only am I valuing life of a human being and the property so that they can have a productive life, but I'm also there valuing their liberty to do whatever they want on that property. I'm valuing all three, judge. You should vote for me because I give you more. And then I'm the affirmative kind of like, but liberty is great. So the idea is that you want to think through, what does my value do? What are all the obtainable things that I can get from my value? And does that subsume their value? Because human rights is a really easy example of it. When I'm debating, I use the example of cheesecake because I love cheesecake. In this cheesecake, we have strawberry flavor, chocolate mousse, raspberry, New York style, caramel. We have all these different types. So my value is like a City Market cheesecake. Not only do you get a little bit of liberty, but you also get a flavor of life. And then you get a flavor of property. And so if you vote for me, you get all these flavors compared to my opponent who's just offering the New York style cheesecake. So what if I'm valuing human dignity and you're valuing peace? Really good ideas of that is with safety. Accountability leads to safety. Protection here. But safety leads to life, right? So now we kind of have a value train going that human rights leads to peace and that prosperity leads to quality of life, which leads to human dignity. So we think through what leads to what. And often your debate and debate rounds will be, you should value competition because it gives us justice. And then your opponent gets up and be like, but justice is just another stepping stone to my value of human dignity. It leads to my value. So judge, you shouldn't value justice because it's just a part of my value. And that's how a lot of debate rounds go down. And you have to be able to clearly think through, well, what actually leads to what? All right. Reasons to prefer. This is your new best friend. You want reasons to prefer in every single debate round, and you want several of them. We've been practicing reasons to prefer this entire time. So why do you prefer security over human rights? You would have to give me a reason to prefer, because I'm a judge and I'm sitting there and I'm listening to you talk about how lovely human rights are. And I'm like, okay, I like human rights. And then your opponent gets up and is like, well, security's really, really great. You should value security. I'm like, okay, I like security too. I don't want my house to burn down and my grandma's china to turn into like a pile of silver. So what do I do now? And often a judge is left at the end of the round going, I like human dignity or human rights and I like security. I'm just going to have to pick. And so you never want the judge to just have to pick. You never want the judge to have to make an independent decision of which value they like more. It is your job to tell them which one they should like more. And you do this through your reasons to prefer. So there's several different types of reasons to prefer. The first one is moral benefits. So I'm valuing human dignity and you're valuing prosperity. Or let's go with security. Security is a little bit more common. So human dignity versus security. What are some reasons that I would prefer human dignity over security? Kind of what I think of is that security can be corrupted. Look at the NSA. I told some of the girls in my room this story last night, but I was researching for privacy year, and I was doing some really in-depth research, and I found out about this thing called the Utah Data Center. And it is basically a Walmart-sized building in Utah that's housed with computers that the NSA is using to collect our data. And so I'm looking at this, and my computer shuts off. And I was like, what? Huh. Turned it back on, looked up the page again. I only found the Yahoo data center, not the Utah data center. I couldn't find that anymore. I'm like, that's interesting. So I went to my sister's computer, and I look it up on hers. Her internet blacks out and pops back up with only the Yahoo data center. Like, okay, that's really weird. It's around 1 o'clock in the morning because that's when I did my research for debate. And I called my friend who lives here in Denver and I'm like, hey, look up this thing called the Utah data center. She looked it up and her internet blacked out. What were we looking up? A government facility that monitors people. My internet was turning off. You can no longer tell me that the NSA doesn't regulate everything. But the point is that power corrupts. Now I know that the government is literally looking at every web page I am on. So do I value my right to liberty to look up whatever I want? Or am I valuing the security that is looking at the same web page that I am? Because of this example, because I think that security corrupts, I'm going to value human rights. You want to look at the moral benefits, because if there is corruption and you can prove that there's corruption within security, your judge is no longer going to want that value. Sure, it might protect life. Sure, those are good things. But ultimately, you want your liberty as a people. And so my reason to prefer human rights over security is that human rights cannot corrupt and security can and be used to oppress us. So which are you valuing in that circumstance? Are you valuing more life or security? Because that is the end. And that's really kind of a thing that I want you to think about with values. It's that they're like a big shell that you're peeling off a layer. All right, I like security, but what does that lead to? Well, it leads to life. Why do I value life? I value life because I do. Like, that's the root of it. But you're peeling off these layers of values until you get down to the core value. And that's really what you're going to value in the debate round. And this core value basically eats up everything else because it's like, well, if I'm valuing life, then security will lead to life, that human rights leads to life. And so you have to think through that with your opponent's value is what's the core value. So social benefits. I guess the example that we just gave could be a social reason to prefer, especially when you're impacting it out to being that governments can corrupt, and then it leads to tyranny, and we don't like tyranny. That's a social reason to prefer. Another reason to prefer is consistency. Say you're valuing quality of life. All right, my idea of quality of life is having a massage every night and getting Starbucks in the morning. But you live in Africa. Your value of quality of life is having a little piece of food to put on the table. So what's actually quality of life? What am I actually valuing? And a reason to prefer, say, your value of justice to quality of life is that we know what justice is. We can define justice every time. It's the same here in the United States and throughout the world. Whereas quality of life, that changes from person to person, from taste to taste, and from situation to situation. So a reason to prefer is consistency. And then your judge is like, oh yeah, I get justice every time. That's justice. But quality of life, you know, I think that that teenage girl should not be getting massages in Starbucks. Therefore, I don't want her to have that. You want the judge thinking through these types of things. Better standard. Better standard's kind of vague, but you can use it in the debate round. So with competition and cooperation, we can value human dignity. But competition nor cooperation directly links to human dignity. Be like, judge, my opponent's value of human dignity is an amazing value. I love human dignity, and I think that it's very valuable. But we're in a debate round. We're in a round where we're trying to see whether competition or cooperation is better. So no matter how great human dignity is, we need to value prosperity because it is an external measure of the resolution where we can actually decide whether competition is better than cooperation. We now have a weighing mechanism, which is what we need in today's debate. Okay, more resolutional, same type of thing. That instead of leading it out to, judge, this is how we're going to weigh it, be like, judge, competition in no way relates to human dignity. They have not provided any reasons as to how their value is proving the resolution. It's not connected to the resolution, therefore we should not vote for it. Another good one with that would be, and it happened a couple years ago, we were debating individual rights versus popular sovereignty, and a kid was valuing education. Education doesn't really lead to individual rights or popular sovereignty. There's really no clash there. It was really it was hard to go up to the judge and be like, sorry, judge, my opponent hasn't proved any examples as to why education links to the resolution, and we haven't seen how education really proves the resolution at all. It's non-resolutional. So while it's a great value, it just simply doesn't apply. So that's what more resolutional. Actually achievable. And this is something where you're getting into the obtainable versus unobtainable debate. Because justice is a great value. You really don't have a ton of arguments against justice. And back 5 years ago when I was debating, justice was popular. Everyone ran justice. And so you had to think of ways around how they actually achieve justice. And so things that I would bring up is, okay, judge, to me, justice is going to a courtroom and getting your just due. That makes sense to me. And in the American definition, that's what justice is. We're going to actually achievable. Peace. Can we actually obtain peace? No. So is it worth pursuing? Well, yeah. But what about compared to my value of human rights? Where we can actually have some benefits of human rights. Human rights is a good value where we all get benefits. And if we value human rights, we might be a more peaceful world. Compared to just valuing peace that we may not get any benefits from because we may never see it. It's not actually achievable, judge. The reason to prefer my value is that we see some of the benefits, whereas with peace, we won't. So does that make sense? Okay, do we have any questions over reasons to prefer? Yes.
Is it a case by case for which one is better, or is there one that just really stands out?
I would say it's case by case. It's also on your debating style. Like, as you develop a debating style, some things will stand out more than others. Such as Matt, because he is a very broad thinker. He likes talking about values. He would go more for the moral benefits than anything else. He likes proving that on a moral standard, on a philosophical standard, his value is better. And that's where his debates would go. I am a very inductive thinker. I like looking at applications. I like going through and proving the small things. So I liked looking at better standard, consistency, actually achievable. Those were the ones that I would naturally fall to because those are things that I think about. So the format of how you would do this is when you get up to address your opponent's value, you'll say, my value is human rights. You would give the definition for it, explain it to your judge, and this is mostly on negative. But the reason to prefer my value over my opponent's is, and you would line it out, X, Y, and Z. And so I would suggest, even though we'll look at flowing later, we'll look at how all that works later, but I would put reason to prefer right after you present your values. And it's really important that you say reasons to prefer. How I would write it down is RTP. All debaters know what RTP is. And judges, for you parents back there, I would look for RTPs. What are the kids giving you? There should be at least one RTP on your flow. Without reasons to prefer, you don't have a debate. Because you're simply left with big philosophical ideas that are all basically equal that might achieve the resolution.